Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined today by Claire and Rebecca. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hey, Michael.
Welcome, Claire.
Good evening, Michael.
Claire, tell us a little bit about the Bridge Walk.
Well, the Bridge Walk is a celebration and a fundraiser for our Africa Vulnerable Children's program, where we're supporting a community in Zambia to become self-sustaining and to really transform the way that they live their lives.
Great. So they're doing great work over there, and we're going to help celebrate that. And when is that?
So it's on Saturday, October the 2nd in San Francisco, and we gather at around noon at Chrissy Field, and we have a little lunch, and there'll be some things that you can buy to support the project, including some African bags that the sewing cooperative in Cantalumba has made. And then we have a little entertainment, and then we walk across the bridge, or walk part of the way across the bridge, whichever suits your body and your energy on that day.
Great. And I've been reading the blog, so I've been seeing the seamstresses over there working hard with these bags. So that's Saturday, October 2nd. That's coming up around the corner. And so how do I register for that?
So the way to register for this event is to go to the Living Compassion website, and then you can follow the link. There's a beautiful picture of the Golden Gate Bridge there, and you can just click on a link there to find more information or to register. And it's $40 for adults and $15 for children. And the price includes the T-shirt for the event and the lunch. And if you'd like just to have a T-shirt for the event, maybe you can't come because you live far away, but you'd like to support the event, then please go to that same link and order your T-shirt in that place.
Great. Rebecca, tell us a little bit about fundraising for Africa.
Well, you know, I was thinking about in years past, we have raised a lot of money for Africa, and it certainly does not all happen on that one day, and it doesn't happen just from the people who show up for the Bridge Walk. It is really a whole Sangha and beyond, really, experience of people raising money in any number of ways. And my favorite aspect or my favorite part of all this is that it is such a great practice opportunity. You know how we have sitting meditation and walking meditation. Well, I've become a big fan and strong believer in fundraising meditation.
Great. Now, and fundraising, does that have a D in it or not?
Well, it depends who you're identified with at the moment. Coming from center, it really doesn't. It's fun. It is a ton of fun. And I'm just as surprised as anybody to hear those words come out of my mouth, but it is. And the thing that is fun about it is, for me anyway, is the creative element. So, you know, there are lots of ways to do this. Yard sales are one way. And I can just project a certain amount of eye rolling, you know, from people, because I myself, when I first heard that, was just like, how is a yard sale fun? I mean, it's always been really hard work. But just from my personal experience and from reading and the blog or the tips that are on the website, it can really be quite a joyous experience. And so fundraising, asking people to sponsor you, sending out an email, you know, with your own enthusiasm just bubbling over for whatever, you know, for the Bridge Walk and for the work that we're doing in Africa is a great way to raise money. And just really kind of, you know, the only limit is our imagination on what we can do. I know one Sangha member does odd jobs for friends and asks for donations and doesn't even pay attention or notice what they give. It's just really for the practice itself.
Quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, does that sound fun to you?
It does sound fun to me. And as you were talking, I'm just remembering about the fundraising blog that's on the Living Compassion website. And as you say, it's really only limited by your imagination about the ways you want to participate and be creative. as you said, the folks in San Diego seem to have a great time with the yard sale every year. And I see cycling and mountain climbing and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, and I want to give a really nice plug for the I think it's the San Diego Sangha that wrote up some tips for yard sales. When I was doing one in my neighborhood for the first time last year, I was dreading it, you know, and I read those tips, and that was, to be real honest, the first time it really occurred to me that I didn't have to price everything, that it could all be donations, and, you know, I just got some really good tips that totally changed how I was thinking about that yard sale. So I would suggest, if you're considering it, or if you basically, really, if you're not considering it, if you have some resistance to it, go check out that on the Living Compassion website, the fundraising link, and see what people say about it.
Great, great. Claire, tell us your thoughts about fundraising.
Well, when I was a child, I remember we used to do sponsored walks and have a little piece of paper and get the neighbors to sponsor us. And the bridge walk could also be treated as a sponsored walk. If you're coming to the bridge walk, there's a sponsorship form that you can download from the web, and you can go and ask your friends and your neighbors to just sponsor you to have a walk over the bridge. And if you're not in the San Francisco area, you could, on that day, have a little walk around a beautiful area close by where you live and get some sponsors to help us raise some money for the people in Africa.
Great, great. You know, as you two were talking, I was thinking about fundraising and how it relates to practice in the more usual ways that we do it. Rebecca, you mentioned the sitting meditation. And I'm wondering if you two had any thoughts to share along those lines.
Oh, yeah, I do. Claire, did you want to jump in there?
Oh, you go first, Rebecca.
Okay, good. Yes, I was just looking at this, you know, before the call, and, you know, for me, it's such a pattern. I can see conditioning, and it's becoming so predictable. So I might, you know, jump in the cycle with some enthusiasm, like I'll hear an idea that excites me and like, oh, I could do that, you know, and I'll watch the energy kind of raise up about that. And then I'll see conditioning come in with all the little excuses or, you know, sort of the negativity that sort of just eats away at that enthusiasm. And so then I'll go along just sort of plugging along, you know, and then something will happen. Either I'll have a little success or something and the energy will build again. And then I watch conditioning try to bring me down with some other discouragement. I mean, it's just so interesting to see what the words are that conditioning uses, how the self-talk gets generated. And, you know, and from that perspective, when you're the content is almost irrelevant, you know, in it, how much money you make or all of that is almost irrelevant. It's such a rich practice opportunity.
And thank you, Rebecca. What occurs to me is fundraising for me is a real opportunity to be in touch with my heart as I open my heart to raise money for this great project. And as I've been reading the blogs from the recent Africa trip, that's been such a heart-opening experience for me to feel that, you know, I'm a part of this too, and that we're all working together to create a different life experience for the people that live in Cantalamba.
Oh, that is so true, and I find that so heart-opening as well. And I want to mention, when one of the blogs recently from Africa, they were talking about the banner. There is a banner that one of the Sangha members here, John, made and carried as he was climbing in Alaska. And the banner was made in Zambia, I believe. I can't remember the guy's name that
Duncan,
made it.
Duncan. It's Duncan. There's a photo of him on the recent blog. He's got a great big smile, and he's holding the banner that was made in
Zambia. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? And then to see the picture of John with the banner. And now we've got the banner where we can request to send an email into the monastery, and if we're holding a fundraiser or something, to, you know, to kind of check out the banner for your project and then send it back. And we're sort of dubbing it the traveling banner. And I just think that's one of those tangible ways that we can feel connected and have our heart opened every time we look at it and remember the story of how this is getting passed around from one good person to another all the way around the world.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, what I hear and what you two are sharing is another opportunity to break through that illusion of separation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The blog has been such a great tool in doing that. You know, photos do it, and the stories, and just the ongoing communication about what we're all about, that we really are being invited to participate in that, no matter what we're doing, whether we're walking, you know, in our own neighborhood or doing a bake sale or a, you know, growing vegetables and offering them to neighbors or, you know, whatever we're doing, we're invited into that same participation.
Exactly. And a bridge walk is a great opportunity to participate and raise some money towards this project. And we're not limited to this bridge walk event either. If it doesn't work for you to do your yard sale before the event and you can schedule to do one in November or December or whenever works for you, that would be fantastic too. It's everybody can participate in their own way.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Claire, that I wanted to expand on because, you know, it's really a year-round kind of project. It isn't just on October 2nd or the day of the bridge walk. That money is raised all the time because, of course, our practice is an ongoing thing.
Which is why the bridge walk is just, for me, just a great celebration, just a real coming together to celebrate all that we have been doing towards the project in Cantalumba and all that we wish to do, to say, hooray, we're doing a great job. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Well done. Claire, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, good night.
Thank you, Michael.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Welcome back.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was such a, that was great. I'll tell you, if somebody isn't inspired and enthused about this whole thing after that, they've really got some clamps on their heart. Don't you think?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Hard to be identified while participating with Open Air.
Exactly, yes, and wildly enthusiastic people who are lit up about what they're doing.
Yes.
Yeah, what kind of conditioning can stand up against that, for heaven's sake?
Yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah, and of course, I just got back from that place that all of this work is going to support, and being there and seeing firsthand the transformation that's happening as a result of all of this effort that people here are making and making around the world. It's so exciting. I truly wish everybody could be there to see it for themselves. It's really remarkable. And I don't know if I've just had a chance to read this because I get this information ahead, because Jen should be in the air somewhere between here and Zambia right now. And she sends the blogs that she's doing on her own over, and I get to read them before they come out. But the thing that she's most excited about now is that during this trip, we were able to set it up to start the girls' club. And we've been wanting to do this for a long time, and it just all came together primarily because of Rose, that fabulous woman who's the nurse there. And just a great, great human being who's as invested in the well-being of that community as we are. And so she was making a big push for it, and Jan and Teresa, and it's all coming together. And the, you know, to consider that these are girls as young as 10 years old who are being brought into this program in an attempt to help them avoid pregnancy and prostitution. Just stop and think about, you know, the 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old girls that we have in our lives that we know and love, and think that there are these children, essentially, whose life is already going down a track that's going to end them in prostitution. And because of what's happening here with things like the bridge walk and all of the other efforts that people are making, those girls have a chance to go to school and get their education and decide on something that they want to do with their life and actually have a chance of making their dreams come true. So it's, you know, it gets really concrete and specific. And so
that's great.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that.
I offer my deep gushos great appreciation to everybody for what's being done.
Yes, it's fabulous. It's fabulous to read the blog. As you're talking about dreams, I'm reminded of Teresa's dream when she was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
How she's been able to transform that into the work she's doing today.
Yes, yeah, not specific. Wanted to be a doctor. But, you know, in a way, and I think she really understands this at this point, she's actually doing more. She's making a greater difference through what she is doing now than she would have been able to make if she had, in fact, become a doctor. Because she's just affecting so many lives on so many levels. And she's also in a position now to assist people who need medical care. And
yes.
We're all very happy.
Yeah, it's great. And you were talking about Rose, and I remember reading in the blog about her position also as a government nurse, I think it was stated, and how helpful that can be also.
Yeah, it's just, Michael, the whole thing is coming together. You know, I talk to a lot of people about this kind of work, and, you know, there's so many ideas. Sustainability, of course, is the buzzword. You know, we want all of this to be sustainable. We want to have an exit strategy. We want to be there for X amount of time. We want to know that it's working, and we want to be sure that we're out of there at whatever point. And you know, we're what, in our sixth year now, and we're just really seeing how it's coming together. And the, of course, people know the amount of work that's gone into making this happen, to getting to this point. And I think, where are we going to be in another 5 years? How many lives are going to be affected if we can stay for another 5 years? In fact, when I was there this time, I had this little fantasy of, you know, the community. It's 4 square kilometers with 13,000 people, or approximately. There's never been a census, but that's what everybody's guessing. And so we're on one corner, the picture, the a square, and we're at the upper right-hand corner. And I think about starting another project like the one that we have now on the upper left-hand corner, and then one on the lower right-hand corner and the lower left-hand corner. And we get 1,000 people or 3,000 people. You know, okay, at what point is the whole thing going to tip and the whole community joins in and everybody is focused on stamping out malaria and growing enough food and getting all the children in school and, you know, that sort of thing. So it's a wonderful project, and as people were saying, it's so like awareness practice in that it's a lifetime process. We're all going to work together forever.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm not going to quit. You're not going to quit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Claire and Rebecca sure aren't going to quit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'll tell you one other quick thing. I know people are probably waiting to talk, but, and I think it was in the blog already, when we had the picture of John at the top of that snow-covered mountain with the sign that Duncan had made, and to watch people's faces as they began to put it together, that here's this sign that they had seen made there by one of their folks, and now it's on the other side of the world with this man at the top of this snow-covered mountain. And for them to begin to grasp the magnitude of this effort that's being made on their behalf. It's a great thing. You know, it's a great thing to feel loved. And that's the main thing that's happening for those folks, more important than any of the physical kinds of things that are changing. It's being so cared about. They talk about it all the time.
Wow. Wow. I know for me it gives me a real increased motivation to want to participate.
Yeah, because as we talk about all the time, as we know, the amount of love we have is the amount of love that we give. And so as we participate more, we have more love, they have more love. The love they have for us comes back to us. It's just, you know, the whole world could live this way. And it's a good thing to be participating in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sherry, you are correct. There are some lovely folks waiting for us. And
right.
I have a couple of announcements here. You will be at the Mountain View Zen Center on September 11th for a workshop called Practice Being What We Want for the World. This will be our first workshop event at the new Mountain View Zen Center. We look forward to everybody participating.
Yes. It's exciting. It's kind of what we're talking about, isn't it? The whole thing is practicing being what we want for the world, what we want for ourselves and what we want for everyone and what we want for our planet.
Yes. And then in October, you'll be in Connecticut for What You Practice is What You Have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's October 17th to 20th.
Yeah.
And as we've been talking about, Africa Team is back. There's lots of blogs, wonderful blogs already there, and it sounds like there's more coming.
There are more exciting events to be revealed.
Yes, and I confess to clicking the refresh button several times today, looking for more.
That good.
And as Claire and Rebecca talked about, the Bridge Walk on October 2nd.
Yeah, that is always such a good party, isn't it? And,
great.
And it's such a fun time to be able to just bring family and friends and you know, people who might say, ooh, meditation, I don't know, awareness practice, that sounds good, but this is just a party. Good music and hopefully dancing and carrying on.
Yes, indeed. So you're cutting out very slightly every just now and then.
Huh. Well, I it cannot be helped.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do. I am speaking to you from the correct type of phone line. So
okay, great.
This is as good as it gets.
Great, I will pay
close
attention.
Let me know, Michael, if it gets intolerable, and I'll, I don't know, pray over it or something.
Okay. Great, we have many callers here.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Janet from New Hampshire.
Janet!
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing really well.
Good.
I have totally enjoyed the call so far. The talk in the beginning I was getting so enthusiastic, and I could completely relate to what Rebecca was saying about, you know, you get really enthusiastic and then conditioning comes in and the enthusiasm starts to wane, you know, because you start listening to whatever it's saying, and then the enthusiasm comes back again. And I was getting really enthusiastic reading the blogs. And this time around, I thought, you have mentioned Lynn Twist and her book Soul of Money so much.
Uh-huh.
So I went out and got that book.
Mm.
And I've been reading it, and I just feel like I want to pass that on because it just seemed to like just broaden everything that you've been doing in Africa for me.
Yes. Yes.
In such an incredible way. So I'm just throwing that out there if people are really interested because, you know, she tells stories from all over the world, but it just like made it so much clearer to me what you were doing.
Uh-huh. And kind of what we're doing and why.
What you're doing and why,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
And made
and
me...
may I, Janet, the mistake that people so often make is, well, but that doesn't have anything to do with me.
Yeah, but that's not how I feel after I feel more clear about how I'm really involved.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that is the thing that, Lynn demonstrates so beautifully. There is no self and other. There is no us and them. It definitely has everything to do with me. And
yeah.
When we get that, then participation becomes a whole different deal.
Yeah, and Michael said it so great when he said it's another opportunity to break through that illusion of separation, you know, also. And one thing that, and I'm just going to put it out because I'm on the air, because conditioning would not want me to say this at all, but one thing I talked about doing last year and didn't do was starting a club at the school where I teach, a compassion club.
Oh.
With kids, and then doing a project for doing something with them for the children in Cantalomba. And it never got off the ground, and it was one of those things where I was really enthusiastic about it, and then I kind of let it, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't let it drop. Conditioning came in and told
me.
I really wasn't interested.
Uh-huh.
So as I was sitting on the phone tonight, I was like, you know, just like I've been committing to calling in, I'm going to make that commitment again.
Good for you. Good for you. And, you know, a la Lynn Twist, there is what that is for you, and then there is what that is for everybody else, and not just the people in Cantalomba, but those students who could very easily have their lives completely turned around by having this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Especially where I come from,
mm.
in New Hampshire,
uh-huh.
where we all look the same.
Uh-huh. Yes, well, that's kind of true with us in Calaveras County, too. So it can happen anywhere. Yeah, so it's good to be brought
in. Yeah,
that's
really good. I love that connection. Yeah, because I really wasn't thinking of that. I was thinking of it just in one way, and of course, that's the whole thing, is just that flow.
Yeah, yeah, and nobody left out.
Yeah.
Everybody included, which is obviously what we're going for.
Yeah.
Because all
of
the suffering that exists can only exist because people believe in the illusion of a separate self. So anything we can do anywhere, anytime to dispel that very nasty myth is a great act of service.
Yeah, and I think that what conditioning was telling me last year was, well, that's not really such a great thing, and you know, you need to do something bigger. Or it's got to be, you know,
be bigger and better and more.
Yeah, just took
and
me
then
right.
Not at all.
Yeah, and no one's going to be interested.
Yeah.
and then what you just said is like, well, completely they'll be interested.
Yes.
You know, and it will be of service, yeah. And it will definitely be of service to me.
Oh, precisely.
Mm-hmm.
And your enthusiasm and participation is what will be inspiring to the students.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember being a student, you know. I would have loved it if I'd, in fact, I can remember I actually had two teachers in the entire time I was in school who actually inspired me, who made me want to be an adult and do something with my life, too.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing that you have
one
or two?
Yeah.
Yeah, that really stand out, that you remember that. Hello?
Great. Yeah.
Oh, I just lost you for a minute. You know, one thing that, just to connect back up with this, was there was a woman who called in last week and said she was inspired by people who have been making a commitment to call.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that whole idea of the flow and the circular motion and the spiral, because me listening to her, knowing that she was talking about me as one of the people who have inspired her, she inspired me. To keep my commitment.
Yes.
When, you know, like tonight it's like, oh, man, it always comes up, man, it's the night to call in. And so I thought about that. I thought, isn't that great that it's not like we do something and we get somewhere, but we just keep coming back around.
Oh, yes.
And that everybody we touch in some way then touches us, and then we're back in it again.
Yes. Sangha.
I love that.
Yes.
Sangha, yeah. I love that, and that's how it feels with what's happening and what you're doing, you know, all the projects in Africa, how that's, yeah, and what we were just talking about with the children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it just keeps going around.
Yeah, so that's very exciting.
It's the wheel of karma, yeah? And
yeah,
so
I like that.
It's going to either turn towards suffering or away from suffering. It's going to turn.
Yeah.
And we're going to turn it. So we might as well put all of our energy into turning it in the direction we want it to go.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like that a lot. Hmm? Well, that was great.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for being there.
Yeah, my pleasure. Just trust me, after 48 hours of getting here, it is definitely my pleasure to be here.
I bet.
To be breathing air that I can't see as it's coming in. It's a real thrill.
I know. I read that in the blog, and I was like trying to imagine that.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, that it in just in the pursuit of not to get terribly political, but what our lifestyle results in around the world. When you have a place where the only way people can deal with trash is to burn it, you can imagine that the air quality is not going to be good.
Mm.
And it's not hard to see when, again, most of the people don't have access to clean water, how the life expectancy could be 33 years.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it's amazing to think of that.
Yes, and we can, you know, we can definitely love our lives and appreciate everything we have and enjoy ourselves tremendously. My ambition is for us to assist everybody to be able to enjoy their lives in the same way that I'm hoping all of us are able to enjoy our lives. And the thing that we can all do to further that most effectively is to end suffering.
Mm.
Stop our relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate and be freed up to be here and be present in loving kindness and compassion and a willingness and an interest and inspiration to be of as much assistance as we can. Which,
yeah,
as we've all noticed, makes life a heck of a lot better on top,
yeah,
of everything else.
Sure.
Yeah, it's more fun and it works. So it's a very good deal.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad this is recorded. I know I always get on the phone with you and I'm just like, my mouth just drops open. I'm just like listening.
Like,
yeah.
What did we talk about? All right. Well,
thank you.
Hey, and we're coming to your neighborhood.
I know.
Soon, huh?
I can't wait.
That's very fun.
Yeah.
All right.
That's great. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good
thank
night.
You, Michael. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I think this is a great opportunity to stop, drop, and breathe and
sounds
hear from
good.
The Sangha market.
Mm-hmm.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's SANGHAmarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Hey. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. Excellent. Excellent. What's going on?
I'm so happy to... I'm just feeling so grateful right now for this show, for the Sangha. It was great listening to the last caller because I'm one of those people, too, who has been so inspired by people who make a commitment to call, and uh-huh. I've been doing that. And so it was great when she was talking about that because I was like, me, I was inspired by you, too. You know, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, and, of course, it always reminds me of making a commitment to sitting group.
Mm-hmm.
The same sort of process. And a lot of folks don't live somewhere where there's a sitting group, Sangha that they can get to regularly. And so this is a great opportunity for that as well. I'll just show up for that. Anytime we show up for practice, everybody benefits.
And the thing is that it just never ceases to just surprise me so much is how difficult it is to call in. I said this to you last time because I did the same thing this time. I did not want to plan what I was going to say. I'm seeing this as my opportunity to really practice just seeing what happens when I show up. But man, it's like all day long,
yeah.
the badgering.
Yeah.
And it always gets to the point, actually a number of times during the day, where it's like, just forget it. I'm not even going to call,
Yeah. Don't you love that? Okay, so you're going to badger me about calling. Okay, then I'm just going to do what you want. Wait a minute now. How is that? You've got a little kid who, I want candy. Finally, you just get fed up and say, okay, I'm going to give you candy. And then you would have to ask, how did we get there?
I know. And I'm just, part of the reason I'm so grateful is that, I have enough practice under my belt that it's like I don't,
You don't fall for that.
Though. At least not today I didn't, I'm sure. In the moment I'm grateful I didn't fall for it. But, yeah, it's phenomenal. And the thing that I was feeling so grateful for when I was listening to both the Good News update and then the first caller is that it's like I suddenly felt like, wow, I feel like I've been in a dark closet all day with conditioning. And now, because of the grace that allowed me to call in, I feel like I'm connected.
Yes. Yeah. And now, I don't know if you do this, but this is my favorite thing to do to conditioning, because you kind of know it's going to go in this direction at this point. And so to just say to those voices, I want to thank you, because every time you harangue me about this, it reminds me to turn my attention back to center. To breathe and be here and to think about how grateful I am for practice and the ability to recognize you really for what you are and to take my attention away from that and bring it back to center. So I really, and just notice how it loses interest in the conversation. And then, of course, after a few minutes, it's going to be back there again. Oh, good. Oh, thank you. Because, I'd actually drifted off a little bit. I wasn't really attending to the breath and being as present as I could have been. And so, thank you.
That is great. That's great. And it is true, actually. It's like, I love it. The same thing happened today that happened the last time I had on the calendar. It's like, I felt like I was in a workshop all day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great, I even was, I saw this well of compassion that it's like, even if I hadn't had the grace to pick up the phone and call, I'd still had a great practice day.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think it's very helpful to do the formal thank you you know, to make deep gusto to conditioning and say, I just want to let you know how really grateful I am for the fabulous practice day that you assisted me in having. I'm really kind of convinced that it's the only way to turn that relationship around.
Wow.
Because as long as it can get us in any way to feel bad about ourselves or to dread it or, you know, wish it weren't there or think it's a mistake that that's going on or whatever, any little twinge of that, and it wins. But when it becomes the very thing that signals us to come back to center, I mean, its days are truly numbered.
Yes. And it's great because I do, you know, it's like I feel this. And all day long, actually, I was feeling this gratitude because it's like I was seeing so clearly again how afraid I am to just show up with nothing.
Yeah.
Or that's good, you know, with nothing.
Yeah. So how afraid conditioning wants me to be to trust that life is living me perfectly.
Mm, yes.
And I mean, that's what's at stake.
And it's like such a valuable thing. Like, so moment by moment by moment today, I got to see that. You know, I got to see, and it's so many different forms, you know.
Yeah.
It, like, it kept coming in, of course, with different things.
Yeah.
And I got to see, like, wow, there's that too, and that, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I can, you know, easily apply it to all these other parts of my life, of course. You know, it's one thing to take the step to call open air and not have anything planned. And now it's like, wow, where else can I try this?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I need to do a presentation.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then I can look to life in terms of what I need to do in order to be prepared for that.
Wow.
And I'll get the guidance. Okay? Or I'll get the information that you're fine. You're prepared. You know what you need to know. You're an expert on this subject, and then trust that, rather than again turning it over to conditioned mind to bring in the fear and anxiety and all of the nonsense that it wants to bring in to take us out of the moment. Because here's the thing about it that I love, and I recognize this is never going to be wildly popular. But if I'm in a situation and I need to do something, you know, I'm going to go do a talk with a group of people, and I decide, you know, I look at it and I get the feeling, you know, I don't need to do anything about this. I just, you know, I'm just going to go and show up. And I go and show up, and it's an absolute disaster. I am going to, if I'm willing to pay attention and stay with it, I am going to see so much about how conditioned mind causes me to suffer under circumstances like that, that I will be grateful that it happened because somewhere I needed to learn that, to see that, if I'm ever going to be free and adequate to knowing that I'm adequate to my experience no matter what.
Wow, that's like a whole new level.
Yeah, well, and, you know, nothing ever happens in our lives that isn't absolutely perfect for us.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't. And people can resist that because what we're trained to do is listen to conditioned minds' better ideas about what it would prefer. But that's not the same as that's the best for me.
Yes.
So when we're open to it, life will give us a full range of experience to go through and free ourselves in.
What just dropped in when you were saying that is that I suddenly saw through too, like, even when I plan out everything and it all goes, quote unquote, so well, you know, usually I'm so much in my head with what I'm going to say and what's going to happen, and that I'm not even there. Yes. So it quote unquote went well, but who was there to enjoy? Who was there to live?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. My ego got to have an experience of its standards being met.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Rather than life had the pleasure of experiencing itself through this vehicle.
Oh, God. Yes. I'm so grateful to hear you say that and just to be able to see it in this moment.
Yeah. It's that old, not my will, but thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it, as far as I can tell, darn near everything in life comes back to that. You know, that when we really get that, we are free to be joyfully, blissfully participating in life. When we don't get it, when we think, you know, if I think there is a me and it's up to me and I need to do something or make something happen or create a certain experience, I'm dead in the water.
Yeah, that really struck me too when you were speaking just earlier with the other caller about separate self, and I was just really in that feeling that, like, wow, you know, I'm so happy to just be here for this call and not have something plan to say and worried, what am I going to do? And
right, not have to listen to that. It's so relaxing. Just show up and receive what life gives you. It is so relaxing.
And it's wild because, of course, conditioning convinces me all day long. Like, that's one of the things that, you know, it's constantly at me, you know. Got to be prepared. You got to be prepared. Otherwise, it's going to be so stressful. Well, what? You know, what's so stressful to just show up?
Yeah, and the only thing stressful is a voice in your head telling you how stressful something is. Yeah. Good.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so happy.
So welcome. It's great to talk with you.
All right. Thanks
Let's
a lot, you guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry. That was fun.
Yeah. Practice is a good time.
Yes, and it's fun to hear about people making these commitments and then following through with them, whether they want to or not.
Yes. Well, yes, and boy, that's the whole deal. You know, we can only actually be in one relationship or the other. We can either live our lives with egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, or we can live our life with life. You know, either way, we're going to live our life with life. But if we think and we're trying to be in that other relationship, then we're going to suffer.
Yes. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Phil from California.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Hi, how are you, Sherry?
Good. Good. Excellent. Adjusting.
I bet.
Yeah, adjusting to things like water that comes out whenever you want it from a faucet. Yeah, fresh fruit, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, what's going on with you?
Well, I first have to just comment on how absolutely, totally inspiring this show is, as are all the radio shows, but this one is just really fabulous. And it must be gratitude day because I'm calling because I'm so very, very grateful for all the things that we have as practice. It's just like there's so many at this point that there's no reason why I or anyone can't spend the whole day practicing.
Yes, yes. And I'm betting money that you're one of those people who understands that practice, gratitude, and happiness are the same thing.
Yes, yes. And it was just recently brought to my attention that gratitude, which just seems to arise, you know, I would suspect from practice, of being that it's the same thing, is the key to joy. And, you know, and it's just like it becomes just this a circular thing where,
yes.
You know, there's this gratitude just arises, and then this joy arises, or the joy arises, and there's gratitude for the joy, which creates more joy.
Right. And the reason that practice is the same thing is that what enables that to arise is that you're here.
Exactly.
Yeah. If every
yeah.
time you're present with life, the response is gratitude, joy, happiness, however, you know, whatever word we want to use for that same, oh boy, yippee skippy feeling of really being here.
Yes. Yeah, it's just so marvelous. I never cease, you know, to be amazed at how, lucky, how...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's that, why me, God?
Yeah.
Really, no, really, why me?
But for whatever, thank you.
I don't deserve this. No, really. Okay, if you insist.
Yeah. And the what inspired me to call was I do the 30-day retreat. You know, it ends on one end of the month, and then I start it up again on the beginning of the next month.
Good for you.
Yeah, I've been doing that for almost since the book's come out, and so at this day 27, you know, where it says, how are you going to celebrate, you know, your accomplishment of the you know, going through the retreat, I realized that Tuesday was going to be on, you know, the very end of the month where the radio show was, and I got this inspiration to call the radio show.
Oh, you're celebrating with us.
I am.
Oh, that is fabulous. So let me ask you about this. So you finish one retreat, and then you just kind of look at what's the next thing I want to practice with for a month.
Yes, and that's kind of what I really wanted to say is that, yeah, so it can be something different, or it can be something I've done before, because some things need to keep going a little bit, you know.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, but the amazing thing is with this retreat, and this is, you know, I hope everybody has at least done this once, but I want to advocate doing it over and over again, because what I have found as I go on is, you know, doing it again and then again, you know, you get to the same page and the same question, and it's like, okay, and then I just sit there for a minute, and a whole different or new or deeper response comes to the question. You know, like the question of, like, what are the subpersonalities saying, or what is the, you know, draw the judge, and what's the judge saying? It's like every time it's new and different.
And what a marvelous thing to be aware of and to prove to yourself. So I was just saying something to somebody the other day that I know you've heard me say for years, which is, you know, people will say to me, how can you stand to say the same thing over and over and over? Which I like to point out, I find to be a very rude question. makes me think sometimes that I'm dull. But my response, of course, is, I'm not saying that. I've never said the same thing over, because it's brand new. Each time I see it, it's like, oh, there's that awareness. And then I get so excited to, you know, talk about what that awareness is. And that to me is exactly what you're describing. It can be the simple same, what is the judge saying? But every time you go there, you're different. It's a new day. You're a different person. The world has shifted around, in this case, for 30 days. So not only are you different and what you see different, but literally, because of the work you've been doing, your understanding is so much deeper. You're just operating on a completely different level.
Yeah, it is just so marvelous. And the thing that I think it really brought it to my attention was, you know, the questions like, what's your relationship with self-discipline or something, you know, in the first few times, you know, I put kind of similar things, and then as time goes on, it was like all this new stuff would come up about it, you know, until, you know, it could be just like one word or, but it's hard to describe it. It just keeps getting, you know, as you're saying, it just keeps not only changing, but it's like going under layers of things.
Yeah, becoming so much more subtle, deeper.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's all, this particular practice is just so inspiring to me because of that, you know?
Yeah, well, and, you know, we can apply this, the same conversation could be applied to sitting practice.
Yes.
You know, sitting practice, for God's sake, what is new about that? You know, you sit down in front of a white wall, you know, you cross your legs and you sit there. And year after year after year, you know, we would think, woof, this is boring, this is whatever, but it's not.
No.
It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah, and every sit is entirely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It really is. And again, the gratitude that arises for realizing the truth of this.
Yes. Yeah. And in, you know, and then it operates so in our daily life, you know, I mean, it's just like it just starts, I don't want to say it, well, making daily life almost in 3D, in the sense that you've looked at these subpersonalities, you've looked at these, and oh, here's that process, and here's this. It just brings it all to the forefront.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Suzuki Roshi, you know that quote, if we lose our enthusiasm for repetition, our practice will become difficult, or however that goes.
Right, exactly.
And, of course, the brilliant secret to that is there is no repetition.
No.
Every second is completely brand new.
And there really is something for, you know, the more we're in the present moment, the more we're in the now, and we aren't reflecting and bringing up the past and all of that a lot, at least for me, the what happens is, of course, everything really is new.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, what a brilliant idea. Oh, maybe I've had that before. I don't know, but it's still good.
Precisely. It's just as good this time as the last 100 times it was brand new.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
that's great.
So anyhow, that's why I wanted to call
Gratitude
in.
Gratitude Day. Well,
Gratitude Day. And,
I'm glad to hear it.
Thank you. And for all of us, the Sangha, I mean, the Sangha is just brilliant at this point. And, it's just so much support.
Yeah.
You know, all of us together, as you have always said, holding hands, you know, going through life.
Yeah. Oh, it's the only way to go.
Yep. It really is.
Well, thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night. Bye, Michael.
Bye, Phil. Thanks for joining us, Phil. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I'm enjoying the show a lot. It's great.
I know we just say it until we can bore ourselves if we had that capability, but we really are so fortunate to have such an amazing Sangha.
Yes, indeed. And I know for me, over time, with all of the shows we've done, somehow each new one becomes even more of a miracle.
Uh-huh.
It's like, wow, we're gonna do it again this week. It's coming up.
Get ready.
It's like I don't know how to express it. The regularity of it is. His conditioning wants to make something old and boring and regular about it, but it's just my experience is that it's more of a miracle each time.
Yes, and Michael, that is just such a critical point. Our conditioning is such that everything is going to move to ho-hum.
Yes.
And that is simply a product of not remaining present to. Because as we've been saying, when we are present in each moment, then each moment is brand new. There is no way anything could become ho-hum. So, having little children and watching, I bet you're already kind of to the point of, wow, they're growing up awfully fast.
Yes.
And having that sense of, they're no longer little. They no longer do that, or they know, you know, and
yeah.
that feeling of, but I wish it could stay like that forever. And of course, what stays like that forever is the appreciation of what it is.
Yes.
Yeah? So
yes.
There they are, so cute and cuddly at 6 months, and then what it's like at a year, and then at 2 years, and 3 years, and the way it has been makes the way it is now so much more wonderful, because we're building on the now, and we stay present to, with that fresh mind, what is appearing, what's manifesting now, and this moment contains everything that has created it, and it just becomes more more wonderful.
Indeed.
So it's like all the love we put into something it grows. I don't know if I'm being clear, but loving every moment before this one makes this one so much more precious. And to leave that for an idea that it's like every other moment, how foolish.
Indeed. Indeed. Sure, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we will be right back.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, once you swam in a river of joy.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Michael, it's Dakota.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
Well, I
good.
Am, and Michael seems good.
All right. Oh.
What's going good. On in your world?
Well, all kinds of stuff. Right now, just so much gratitude for the show. It is nothing less than a miracle. I mean, I heard you mention earlier in the good news updates, I think, talking about people in Cantalumba and how good it feels to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were mentioning that, I was just feeling that. I was feeling just feeling really loved kind of through the Sangha and through this radio show, and feeling loved by all just the love and effort that you guys put into this show and into to the Sangha and to the greater community, and just really receiving that. It's so appreciative.
Uh-huh. It is a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of back to what the first couple of callers especially were talking about, that realization that you're that too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're loving. And you take that in and you give that back out, and it just takes on that circular quality. And pretty soon, just everyone and everything is included in that. And it's glorious.
It is. It's so good to participate in this
mm-hmm.
way.
Yeah.
And to just remember that I'm participating in this way, too. Especially, with, I'm calling because I've made a commitment to call. And also because today, conditioning was really getting me with some real souped up content, some real believable stuff. It was like, okay, that and that and that and that didn't work. So I know this one will, kind of thing.
Yes.
We're getting,
yeah.
Getting me.
Bringing out the big guns.
Yeah, it sure is. It's like kind of survival stuff. It was working me today with money kind of thing, and like not having enough and not being able to, pay for my mortgage of my house kind of thing. And just, you know, oh, my God, what's going to happen to me? And
predicting this for your future.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, predicting the whole doomsday scenario and, not offering any helpful suggestions.
Oh, no.
For how to work through it.
No.
Yeah. Uh-uh. No. No.
My job is to point out how your life is in the toilet. Your
exactly
job is to figure out what to do about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, actually, yeah. Oh, boy. And I really went for it for a while, and it felt so horrible.
Yeah.
And it's just such a breath of fresh air listening to the show and participating. And it's like, you know, I still, you know, I'm going to have difficulty making those payments this month, and it's not the end of the world. And matter of fact, it's a great, kind of like I heard you talking with another caller just about how life always gives us exactly what we need.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's another opportunity to look at how suffering happens with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, the, I don't know if this works for you, but I get to this place of, you know, if the worst happens and I'm on the street somewhere, then by God, I'm going to start a meditation group. You know?
Yeah.
it's like, well, you know, life has always taken care of me so far, and every time I've gone in a direction that conditioning was predicting was just a nightmare horror, it's been fine, and in fact, some of those have been my favorite times in life. So, you know, why am I going to stop trusting now?
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true, because it's a habit, I suppose.
Yeah, but I've always been adequate to my life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny how, like, I actually tried that today. I said, you know what, so what? So what if the worst happens and I'm out on the street and, you know, yada, yada. And, I'm still right here. I still have practice. I still have everything I need. And then I remembered the project in Africa and, you know, some other people's experiences, and just remembered that, yeah, I really don't have any kind of problems.
Right. Well, and I'm just thinking, if you really want to torture those voices,
just say, you know, I have two really good alternatives. If I'm out on the street, I can either go live in Cantalompa, where it's bound to be cheap, or I can go to the monastery and become a monk. And see if that shuts them up.
It did. It shut them right up for a couple of seconds. And then they waited until I went unconscious for a minute and snuck right back in.
Oh, yeah. That's the argument for staying conscious, isn't it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. The only way to keep the door closed.
Oof. Yeah.
Well,
that's
good.
Great.
Well, I'm glad you made the commitment. Glad you called.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah. It's. I just love it. I love participating. I love listening to all the callers and you guys, and just grateful, eternally grateful.
Yeah, me too. I know that feeling very, very well. And hopefully you've got a little ammunition here. I hate to use those. You know, all those expressions are so incredibly violent, although I confess sometimes with self-hate, I think, oh, let's bring on the violence, really.
Oh, fine.
Some tools to use
good words for the mentor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You got some good reinforcements in your corner.
I sure do. And I think I'm going to listen to this recording a couple of times too. I think that'd
excellent.
Be real helpful.
Good. All right. We'll take good care
great.
Of him.
I sure will. Thank
all
you
right.
so much.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lakota. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I want to thank you for coming back and joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Michael. Thank you for holding down the fort while I was gone. I don't actually know who were the hosts or the whatever you call us. but I'm grateful to them too, and as always to Sangha and folks who are doing the practice and calling in and supporting all of us.
Oh yes, me too. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Good night.
Good night.